time to get our reality check this morning with our partners at Honolulu Civil Beat. Reporter Nathan Eagle sets the stage for rising sea levels. Do we retreat or fortify the shoreline? Morning, Nathan.
Good morning.
So you pretty much set the stage out there looking at the various bills that the lawmakers have introduced.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no shortage of them, you know, a dozen or more that deal with climate change directly, and many more that deal with it indirectly. So there's a lot of very big questions before Hawaii lawmakers, and in turn, obviously, us, the public, from everything from where do we armor our shorelines or where should we retreat because of rising sea levels. We've got carbon tax proposals on the table, homebuyer disclosures, you know, that being, should you tell a prospective home buyer that you live in an area that's going to be underwater in the coming years, and a whole bunch more.
Now, what's your sense as to, you know, what might get, you know, hearings first or what might be really doable?
Well, looking at what happened last year, there's a couple of clues on some of them that have been tried before. You know, there's some that suggest we should implement the findings of this huge sea level rise report that the State Climate Commission did, I think, in December 2017. So that had cleared the Senate last year, if I'm not mistaken, but then died in the House. So I think they'll push that again. It hasn't changed, as far as I can tell. So maybe they'll have better luck this year in trying to get some more traction in the House. Some of the others, though, I haven't seen debated before, I don't recall, such as the carbon tax. So that one, I think, will be highly controversial. But it is something that our State Climate Commission unanimously approved. And then some of the others are kind of a mix somewhere in between those two.
And I know there's been discussion about carbon offsets for folks who don't like the idea of a tax.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a number of carbon offsets from stuff, I think, to help consumers do that, to having the state kind of offset its own emissions for its own employees.
And the disclosures, the real estate disclosures.
Yeah, absolutely. So that one has been tried before and obviously didn't pass or we wouldn't be talking about it. But that's, again, there's these powerful mapping tools that are now available to the public online through the state's report that show you, you know, what 1 foot of sea level rise looks like, 2 feet, 3 feet over the next, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But the question is, if you're buying a home in one of those areas, should you have to tell the buyer that you live in one of these areas, that your home could potentially be underwater within the next generation or maybe a lot sooner?
And the lawmakers are also looking at, you know, how do we plan for retreating or building up?
Yeah, and that one I'm imagining there will be a lot of debate over. So I spoke to Senator Carl Rhodes, for instance, who's introduced this bill that says, hey, Climate Commission, can you at least give us a list, you know, maybe prioritize a list of areas you think we should armor, build seawalls and things like that to protect us, and areas that make sense to retreat. But in his opinion, you know, things like harbors, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Let's armor that and protect it. But for him, you know, Waikiki, which is all the mapping shows to be underwater in the near future, he's like, that's something we should retreat from. That's his opinion. But, you know, in talking to like Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell, he's like, no, absolutely. We are going to protect Waikiki and Kaka'ako, places like that, that are such a big economic driver. So I think you're going to see a lot of debate in terms of what is on which of those lists.
This is interesting to me because I just recently took an underground tour of the city of Seattle, looking at areas that the city had abandoned because of a really bad fire. But you can go actually underground and look at where there was a hotel and where there was a bank. And it was just kind of looking back at the future of what could come in Waikiki. Just really fascinating.
Oh, that's super fascinating.
So we'll have to see what happens. When's the first hearing? We've got anything today or tomorrow?
Not that I've seen scheduled so far. I haven't made my way through all the lists of everything. they're definitely coming in frequently and with a lot of different bills being on the table. I'll be keeping an eye on them.
Okay, haven't waded through them all yet. All right, thanks so much, Nathan.
Thank you.
That was reporter Nathan Eagle with today's reality check. To read Nathan's full story, visit civilbeat.org. We'll be right back.
Aloha, I'm Jairus Grove from the University of Hawaii at Manoa. You're listening to The Conversation on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio.
Officials are optimistic they can eradicate the infestation of little fire ants discovered recently in a Kaneohe neighborhood. The department was successful when a larger population was found in Mililani several years ago. It was eventually deemed little fire ant free. We talked to Becky Azama, the plant pest control manager of the State Department of Agriculture.
Someone in the home was being stung inside on the sofa. The infestation, other than inside the home, was when we went to survey the property, it was found pretty much in along the boundaries of the property, the residence, and along the patio area of the home.
Do we have any idea where it came from?
We do not. It could have come in anywhere, and that's the reason why when we did survey the one property and found it on the edges of the property, we had to expand the survey and found more ants in the neighboring property. So there are altogether 11 properties being treated. So we don't really know how the ants came to Oahu.
Well, is this in a subdivision or in an area that's more country?
It's in a subdivision, yes, and it's surrounded by roadways where the ants don't normally cross unless items or articles are moved. So there's the natural boundaries are the roadways.
So it might have been brought in by some plant material, nursery material?
Possible. The ants can live in anything. It could live in people's vehicles, their private vehicles, or any. We even heard of the machete handle had a crack in it, and there were a colony of ants in there. So
really?
Anywhere that the ants can find shelter and still have access to food and moisture, water. So it could be anything.
So give us a snapshot. I know they've had problems with the little fire ant on the Big Island, and I think Maui, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, Big Island is basically controlling what is on each person's property. The residents need to control the ants there. Maui, there's still a belief chance for eliminating the populations, and it's continuing projects to eliminate the ants there.
So is it basically a lost cause for the Big Island, though?
I wouldn't say lost cause. I believe property owner, manager needs to work together with the communities. And, you know, it makes a difference when neighbors help each other cooperate and control the ants. So it just kind of ripples outwards if, you know, each owner is responsible.
And is the infestation on any particular side of the Big Island?
It originally was on the east side, and we understand now that more calls are being received for the West Hawaii.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yes.
So tell us about the treatment.
So the first thing that we do is identify what kinds of ants, and that is by receiving a sample and then looking under the microscope for the features of the ants, identifying it, and then from there, then the set plan is plan of treatment was developed by the Hawaii Ant Lab, and they are based in our Hilo office. But their treatment plan that was developed has been proven to be effective in controlling the ants and eliminating them. What we've been using is bait form so that the ants will take the food baits back to their nests and eliminate the colony slowly that way, and eventually the queen will be fed the toxicant, and stop the egg laying or, you know, egg producing part. The chemical in the pesticide we've been using, we use one of them anyway, is called hydromethanol. So we use a combination of the granular baits on the ground, and we also use a slurry, and being it's able to be shot up into the trees or what where the ants live.
Right, because it's important, I think, to underscore that, is that they can nest in trees, and so if you're just hiking along in the forest or walking around your backyard, they could drop on you.
That's right. They'll drop, and they'll be able to sting, and they may not come down to the ground to feed, so that's why we need to put the bait up where they can feed on them.
Right, so you just need everybody to be vigilant in that area.
We do. The treatment cycle is about every 6 weeks that we would treat, and the treatment goes on for 8 treatments. So sure. It's a long process, but as in Mililani, we've had success, and you know that success is really based on we had great cooperation with the residents. I cannot tell you or emphasize enough that because of that we work together, the population is gone. How important it is that everybody work together.
Best advice for folks if they bring plants home from somewhere, quarantine it and just take
a test. Maybe they could, you know, do that quick peanut butter test before they bring anything. I mean, it's not, like I said, not only plants, but any article, if they're moving them from the Big Island, they can do the quick peanut butter stick test and see what kind of ants, or if they have any ants there.
And so we just don't know why. They just really like peanut butter, huh?
It's a protein. They prefer the protein and oil-based foods.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. No, but that's good advice. All right. So if you bring any kind of plant material or something, just to be safe, put some peanut butter out.
Yes. And they can always go to our plant quarantine branch offices on the neighbor islands. You know, if there's any suspects, we have the pest hotline they can phone in, and it's 643-PEST or 7378. I've already gotten a few calls from Kaneohe asking, you know, if we have checked their neighborhoods, and we will do a larger, broader sweep at some time with our partner agencies.
That was Becky Azalma, Plant Pest Control Branch Manager for the State Department of Agriculture. She was talking about what's being done to get a Windward Oahu neighborhood little fire ant free.